He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. This is Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live at Fitness 1440. 411 Metroplex Drive in Nashville, Tennessee. Fitness 1440. Been telling you about it all morning. They got a radio special. You can join today for only $14.40. You get 1 month of free personal training, a savings of over $250. The place is awesome. Over 15,000 pounds in free weights. They got personal training, an indoor swimming pool, a hot tub, a steam room, a sauna, a basketball court that's awesome. I've played a lot of basketball.
I don't recommend lifting all 15,000 pounds at once, though.
Well, probably
that'll
not.
That'll be hard.
But if you can, I'm not here to limit you. Owners on site, they're open 24/7, and they have child care in the mornings and the afternoons from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fantastic, awesome place. Great. Basically everything you could want in a gym and then a little extra. That's the best way to describe it to me. And fantastic one-year anniversary party happening tonight. They're doing a raffle, giving away a bunch of free stuff. And at 8 p.m. tonight. So come hang
out
with us.
You must be here to win the 4K Ultra 55-inch HD television.
So, and it does look so beautiful. But come say hi to us. We'll be here, I think, 3D. Well, 3D, I know, is going to be here afterwards. So it's we're going to be here for the course of the day, hanging out and making sure you guys find out about an awesome gym option for you right here, right off Harding Road, Metroplex Drive. Come check it out. So great stuff here. We will be here all morning. Not great stuff in Knoxville, and there's just no pretty way to say this. It was sort of a survival weekend. It felt like many teams just had to find a way to survive, and that's easier said than done. Some teams did, some teams didn't. You mentioned it earlier, a lot of bad football. Ultimately, I guess what matters is that UT survives, but in the process, that was ugly. I mean, that was gross. It was disgusting. The number of Fire Butch Jones, it was alarming to me in the beginning. It took, 3 seconds flat before it was like Fire Butch, and that just went the whole game. Sometimes a win is not a win. This was one of those instances.
Yeah, what do we always talk about? It's how it looks, right? How it looks is sometimes just as important as the outcome, and certainly the look against Florida was bad, even though lost in all of that is an unbelievable comeback in the fourth quarter. You forget that all in 2 seconds when Felipe Franks completes a pass, you know? That's a bad look. And not being able to put away an 0-4 UMass team that was coached by Chris Berman is actually completely unacceptable. So it's not a good look at all. There's really not like a piece of analysis that you can have on this game that says, oh, look at this or look at that. Like, it's just unacceptable to play like that against that team. We knew there would be a hangover effect. We knew there'd be a slow start. And what I don't like is the fact that after four games, the Tennessee Vols average more passing attempts per game than they do rushing attempts per game.
Doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Now, they did run the ball 39 times against UMass. The problem was the offensive line. They were 3.5 yards a carry. They could not generate a push with the offensive line. Now, in a normal situation, this type of game happens a lot with a lot of teams, right, where you come out flat from a big game the week before, you're playing an undermatched opponent, or an overmatched opponent, excuse me, and it's a little tight, it's nip and tuck, and all of a sudden you get to the third quarter, and then you just lean on them a little bit. The big boys just sort of lean on the team from the MAC or from Conference USA or whatever. You lean on them, and that never happened. They should have imposed their will in the third quarter, and going into the fourth quarter, and then throughout the fourth quarter, and it just never happened. They made a couple of big plays when they had to, but they just never imposed their will the way you want to see a team that, frankly, running the ball for 180 yards against Florida in the swamp is not easy to do. They did that 2 weeks ago. They just could not find space against UMass's offense and or defense. And what's really amazing is you're starting to see the amount of playmakers on the Tennessee offense, despite losing Juwan Jennings, despite Alvin Kamara and Jalen Hurd and Josh Dobbs and all these guys being gone from this team, Josh Malone, you're starting to see, you know, Brandon Johnson play really well. You're starting to see John Kelly turn into a star, Ty Chandler starting to be productive. There's playmakers on the team. They have guys that are stepping into bigger roles and making plays. I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know if it's the quarterback. I don't know if it's the offensive line. All of it sucked on Saturday. That's the bottom line. And that's an unacceptable performance, period. And everybody on that team is guilty. And that applies to the coaching staff, every member of the coaching staff, and every member of the team.
It's funny to me because how you look in a loss is such a conversation all the time when you've got quality opponents. And we talked a little bit about like how Vandy could have had an opportunity had they looked good in a loss to Alabama. That was a lost opportunity for Alabama or for Vandy.
Yep.
This is sort of the opposite situation. When you are playing a team that is this bad, at some point you have to take over. At some point the snowball has to sort of avalanche. That's what's expected when you're a good football team against a bad football team. And you mentioned, I mean, how much of our conversation you just had was sort of similar to what we expected in the Alabama-Vandy game. You expect size and depth and talent to eventually wear down the other side,
and
the better team flat out wins. That's what you expect when you're talking about Tennessee versus UMass. I mean, that's an unacceptable, as much as over our year doing a show together. We've had conversations after a game like Appalachian State, where you could say, App State, you know what, they're a better football team than people think. Like, right, we can have that conversation.
Yep.
You can come in against Georgia Tech and say, look, guys, this is a quality football team. You can look at some of these wins that have been slightly suspect at times, and you could say, yeah, but you're forgetting this is a really good football team. I can't make that excuse here. Like, there's no justification in my mind that I can make. It's like me getting my dozen donuts on football Sunday. I come in and I say, yeah, but it's football Sunday. That's what I do on football Sunday, right?
And I can go, it's still going to cause a heart attack.
Yes, but if you come to me on Wednesday afternoon and I'm eating a dozen donuts, I'm just like, you know what, dude, you got me. Like, I have no willpower. That's where I feel like we are with the Vols at this point. I feel like this was a you got me moment where I'm looking at it saying, you have got to be kidding me.
Well, there's not a takeaway, and – We can get into this a little bit later on in the week as well. But if you go and you look at the quarterback situation alone, again, the fact that this team is throwing the ball through four games, the fact that this team is averaging more pass attempts per game than it is rushing attempts, I think speaks. Now, listen, they're trailing in the first game. I get that. They had to throw a lot. They're trailing against Florida. They needed to throw some. I get that. But the bottom line is, what did we ask about this team after the Florida game? Their identity should be clear. It should revolve around number four and number three. They should be running the football with those two guys. And for the large part, they sort of tried, but the offensive line didn't deliver. The quarterback couldn't offer any semblance of, let's stretch the field and create that defense, allow that defense to sort of give us some room to run. It just never happened, and there's just not an excuse for it. Like, there's just none. There's no acceptable reason that game took place the way it did. So the calls for Butch's head are only going to get louder, and it puts – and then you juxtapose that with Georgia and how well they look against Mississippi State, how good they've looked on defense in particular. And you look at that Tennessee offense and Quentin Dormady, and you go, how is that unit going to get anything accomplished against the Georgia Bulldogs defense? The way the Georgia Bulldogs defense is playing right now, it just doesn't – they completely shut down Brandon Wimbush at Notre Dame and Nick Fitzgerald at Mississippi State. So Georgia looks like they're capable of playing with Alabama right now. Tennessee, you got a huge test in front of you this weekend. And so for the calls for Butch Jones's head are only going to continue to get louder. And
you, to your credit, you were pretty loud about the fact that you thought there might be a little bit of a step back, that a little bit of hangover comes into this UMass game. And that's
first
fine.
Half, fine.
That's fine. Like,
right.
I'll give you a hangover, but at some point you have got to turn around and say, hey, we're just bigger, we're better, we're stronger, we're faster, and you're UMass. And that never happened. And that's why I'm looking at it thinking, my gosh, if that can't happen there, I mean that's one of the it was clear to me. It's even more clear to me at this point that if we're waiting for some sort of epiphany, some sort of light, some aha moment, I'm not sure it's coming for this Vols team.
No, and what's really weird is look at the quarterback situation for both teams. I thought Butch Jones, a very odd time to put Jarrett Garitano in the game at the sort of, what is it, like early fourth quarter, up by a score. Like, it was an odd time for him to go to Garitano, and that seemed strange. And if the quarterback for UMass doesn't get hurt, they clearly could not throw the football after the starting quarterback for UMass gets hurt. They had no ability to create any balance. I mean, Tennessee just loaded the box and just forced him to throw, and he couldn't do it. You saw in the last possession, like, he tried to throw the ball like three times and, you know, intentional grounding, you know, basically every time. They almost got lucky that the UMass quarterback got hurt. Like, the whole thing, there's just absolutely no acceptable excuse or reason. There's no justifiable excuse. There's no, you know, spin. You can't put this in the spin cycle and try
even
to
– Even I can't make like, this positive.
Like, there's just
I'm
nothing.
Trying.
Like, and I have no problem. Like, you guys know what I was big on. I didn't see a specific coaching problem against the Florida Gators in that game. I still don't. I've gone back and watched it. I still don't see a specific coaching issue with that game. Everything about this game is about the coaching staff getting a team prepared to play a game that they should dominate. And once they're in the situation where they're not dominating, getting them to realize that they should be dominating.
Yeah.
And none of that happened throughout the course of the entire game. Some of that's because I just think Quentin Dormady is just not that good 85% of the time. He throws a gorgeous pass when he wants to, and then there's the other 10 passes, and you're like, what are you doing, dude? And the offensive line was bad. The defense was very good. Give them credit. The defense has actually been pretty good the last 2 weeks. Really the last three.
They were essentially playing Arkansas Central State Community College.
I get you, man. So there's not a – you can't paint this one in any different light. If things don't change, you will get abused by that Georgia Bulldogs team this weekend, and then we will have a very interesting conversation this time next week.
Yeah, because if you get abused by this Georgia football team at some point, I still think that – this is an easy thing for the wheels to fall off of entirely. That's what's going to be dangerous. Hey, Julian, you want to give away some free stuff?
We have free stuff, people.
Yeah, there it is. Let me tell you about it first so that you know what this is because it's awesome. There's an all-new documentary, Steve McQueen, American Icon, the true story of one of America's most enduring and intriguing movie stars, dubbed the King of Cool. Steve McQueen, American Icon, explores the man behind the global fame, fast cars, and endless money, and his journey to find true peace. Get your tickets today at stevemcqueenmovie.com and experience Steve McQueen, American Icon, in theaters Thursday, September 28th only. So what we're going to do is we're going to give caller number 5 a pair of tickets to this, 615-737-1025. Going to win a pair of tickets to Steve McQueen, American Icon movie. So 615-737-1025, caller number 5, going to get some tickets. When we come back, I want your thoughts, Braden, on where it all went wrong and can it be fixed. We'll address that next for the Vols. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. As we talk about college football, don't forget, you get all the best coverage with our premier college football preview show, Saturday Tailgate. You can join Jared Stillman and Julian Council at Mafiosa's in Franklin every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, only on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's the only place you can get it, and it is spectacular. Speaking of spectacular things, we are at Fitness 1440 over 411 Metroplex Drive. Fantastic building. I love this place. Nelson, the owner, has been fantastic to us so far this morning. Just learned, as they're doing a – we told you, they're doing a raffle tonight at 8 p.m. over here. Got to be present to win. They're doing a raffle tonight at 8 p.m. Just found out that they're giving – Pete Weber works out here. Good old Pete. You can probably
– so if you want to stalk Pete Weber, yeah, come hang out at Fitness 1440 and
– get some hockey stories.
Go get some hockey stories.
He's donated 2 Preds tickets for tonight's raffle. They're also – which is, again, at 8 p.m. We're also looking at these sweet bikes, the fantastic 4K Ultra TV. Just heard that there's a cruise, too. Literally a cruise tonight, 8 p.m., 411 Metroplex Drive.
These Huffies seriously look like they can go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Like, those are serious tires.
They do. They look like they could go anywhere, including, like, just on the wall in the garage where you're like, I'm going to ride a bike, and then it just never happens. But they look so good, I still want it.
You hang it right next to your whipped cream vodka.
Yeah, no, because I use that all the time.
Oh.
The whipped cream vodka all the time.
Gotcha.
So check out Fitness 1440. Come hang out with us. 3D going to be here, too. So if you're just getting in the car and you're thinking, well, I don't know, like 3D's going to be here. We're going to be broadcasting from here all day. They have a cool class schedule, great place, 24/7. Open. They got an indoor swimming pool, a hot tub, a steam room, a sauna, basketball court. Owner, like we said, we were talking to him earlier, Nelson, he's around all the time. And they even have childcare in the morning and the afternoon. So all the options you want right here, Fitness 1440. Can't say enough about how awesome everybody has been. So you just said if things don't change, it's going to be ugly against Georgia. So the question is, can things change in a week? Because like ever the cynic I am suddenly, I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like the Vols are who the Vols are. Ain't going to change, and Georgia's going to just whoop up on them.
Yeah, I really would like to try to come up with a way to,
oh, good.
To paint this one in a positive light. I think Georgia not only made a statement against Notre Dame defensively, but they made an even bigger statement against Mississippi State. Now, all right, now here's We had a Fantasyland conversation about the Vanderbilt-Alabama game on Friday.
Yes.
And we will eventually have that same conversation for Tennessee this weekend. Georgia could be dealing with a major quarterback controversy. That could help them. I do not think that the team quit on Butch Jones this weekend. I think it was a hangover effect, and they were not prepared and ready to go. And that is on the coaching staff. And the players did not execute and did not play well. So I think that's not quitting yet. Getting blown out by South Carolina, if you lose to Georgia in 3 weeks, that would be quitting, and I think that could be the beginning of the end for Butch Jones. But they could also – they've played very well against Georgia, so they could, in theory, play well against Georgia again. This does not look like the same Georgia team. This just looks like a different Georgia team on defense. They're electric. They're fast. They swarm like crazy. They did that against Notre Dame. They did it against Mississippi State. It's really hard to look at this – and try to find, like, man, how is it that Tennessee could, okay, they got some play, oh, they could call this play, and you're like, no. Like, there's just nothing about the way these two teams played this weekend that indicates that they'll be even competitive coming up next week, which, of course, means they'll probably play very well.
Sure.
Like, because that's the way sports work.
Especially this year.
So it's really hard. It's hard to look at it. And by the way, I want to say thank you to Julian for – hanging out at Beyond the Edge this weekend, because I watched the Tennessee game and then just started puking everywhere, so I had to stay at home for that. I was sick. No, I'm kidding. We were sick the night before. And we will be back at Beyond the Edge this weekend for the Georgia-Tennessee game. Of course, that's this Saturday at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. You got CBS, the game of the week, coming to Knoxville. And obviously great drink specials on Pickers Vodka, New Heights Beer. Beyond the Edge is located, of course, at 112 South 11th Street in East Nashville, right there on Five Points. I will actually make it there this weekend. I apologize. I a little under the weather over the weekend. And no, not because of the way the Vols played against UMass early on Saturday. Although I would not be surprised if many Vols fans didn't feel sick to their stomachs when the game ended, because it was a pathetic showing basically all across the board.
Yeah, I'm struggling to find – usually when your team isn't doing what you want it to do, what do you look at? You look at it and say, okay – how does this team get better? And I'll use my beloved Raiders as an example. My beloved Raiders got killed last night, right? But you can look at it and say, okay, I know exactly how this team wins games. I know exactly how this team loses games. I know exactly what this team does to be better. We talk about it with the Titans all the time, like a particular identity, right? Like we talk about those things. I'm looking at the Vols, and I'm saying, I don't know that I can pinpoint something that I can trust will viably happen, because we all know, okay, they should run the football more, all right? That's fine. That's a part of it. But it's not like there's one fix to, you know what, if this team just gets back to this thing, they're just better than everybody. If Georgia does everything that Georgia's supposed to do effectively and Tennessee does everything Tennessee is supposed to do effectively, advantage Georgia to me. So –
yeah, and some of that is, and again, the beauty of college football is that sometimes you have teams that are cycling up and sometimes you have teams that are cycling down, and that's just the nature of the sport.
Sure.
The NFL is a little different. Like, you have a quarterback, you're going to be probably – you'll start out at a certain threshold, right? Like, if you've got a quarterback, you've got a chance to be 8 or 9 or 10 win team. Then it depends on the rest of your roster and the schedule and so on and so forth. With college football, it's a little different. You do cycle up and cycle down, and – some teams cycle further up and further down than others. Alabama just sort of cycles in the same spot every year, which is first place in the West, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're also the exception to the rule. They're not the norm. And so Georgia is cycling up. They were picked by most people. Our preseason magazine, even though I sort of was on the Florida bandwagon, it clearly looks like through 4 weeks of the season that I need to change to Georgia. It clearly is now a two-horse race in the East, because Florida came back and beat Kentucky. Georgia just looks like a significantly better team. But we sort of knew that in the preseason. But there was still an opportunity for Tennessee to win that game because, hey, they played well against Georgia. They're at home. There's a lot of reasons why you could make the case for Tennessee to play well in that game. There's not a lot today. After four games, there's not a lot you can look at as a Tennessee fan and say, that gives me hope against the Georgia Bulldogs. To your point about lack of identity, John Kelly is a special, special player. We know that. Batuli looks like a really good player. Nigel Warrior's developing into a really good player. Darryl Taylor's developing into a nice – there are some really good players on this team. Trey Smith, like, really what I get excited about, if you're a Tennessee fan, is like, the offense in 2018. Like, John Kelly's a sophomore. Ty Chandler's a freshman. Trey Smith and Drew Richmond are underclassmen. Marquez Callaway's a sophomore. You look at this team and you go, man, that offense could be special next year.
Right.
And that may not help Butch Jones much right now.
And that new offensive coordinator and that new coaching staff are going to have such a good time with that.
I mean, Chip Kelly is going to destroy people with those players.
I mean, that it's crazy that after a win, that's where we are. But, again, I feel like the wins only cemented the doubts that I have. And that's, you know, I'm trying to come in every week and have, like my mother-in-law pointed out to me that, a year ago, they weren't particularly college football fans. They'd never watched a lot of it. But, you know, we started the show, and she was like, I want to support. So she started.
Did she watch a lot of Clemson last year?
No, not a lot of Clemson last year. But she watched a lot of the Vols and got really into the Vols. So she's like, now I'm just like, I'm a mega Vols fan now.
You can't argue the entertainment value.
She's like, yeah, well.
The drama every Saturday.
She
can't
wants
argue
to see
that.
Wins. She wants to see wins. This is my fault, Kathy. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know what to do at this point. Like, I want Tennessee to turn this around just so that my mother-in-law doesn't think I sabotage college football for her for life. But I just don't see the easy solution.
I thought you were a Vanderbilt fan.
I am, but you know, she chose to go with Tennessee. I can't change her leanings. You know, she's dug in. It's a lifelong diehard. There's nothing you can do about the 1 year lifelong diehard. So
1 month,
one year. She's from last year.
Sorry.
So now she's all sorts of dug in on it.
Sorry, Kathy.
Yeah.
You picked a good time to jump on the bandwagon. I mean, listen, like, it's all the same crap, right? Like, Butch Jones did a great job to rebuild the program, has done a great job to put players in place to have the talent to be successful and compete. And I think even on the broadcast, they showed this. They're 16-5, I think, or they were 15-5 heading into the weekend, that only, like, 7 or 8 teams in all of college football had a better record over the last 20 games. So it's not like he's atrocious. It's just how you look. You give up 700 yards to Vanderbilt, and you have locker room discourse and falling apart and bad offense and breakdowns against South Carolina. You give up a Hail Mary to Florida. You awful against bad teams occasionally. Like, you just – the look isn't good any step of the way. So what it does is it narrows your margin of error. And so even though you've accomplished all these good things if you're the head coach and you're Butch Jones, the fact that your look is so bad right now – it's just you're not going to win PR battles, especially when you then come out and say stupid things like he did all of last season and in the offseason. He's just – bottom line is now you got to go out and you got to play extremely well against Georgia. I haven't seen what the opening line is on that game. I'm assuming it's a Georgia by 8 or 9 or 10, and which would be a large number in Neyland Stadium. So they're going to have to play well, and then they have to go out and win almost all of their big games. Because, oh, by the way, Alabama's still on the schedule. LSU's still on the schedule. A road game to Kentucky's on the schedule. So, a lot of tough stuff coming.
Sam Kahn Jr., ESPN SEC reporter, going to join us next. We'll get Sam's thoughts on all things SEC and all things Vols on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Remember, we're down at Fitness 1440, 411 Metroplex Drive. Come hang out with us in Nashville. Having a great time today. Fantastic staff here. Can't say enough.
I got one of these little spinny thingies that all the kids have, and now I don't know how to do a radio show.
Yeah, he's done. He got one of those fidget spinners, and now Braden's just going to sit this one out. That's what's going to happen. As we like to get a little national perspective on what we saw, so we'd like to bring in some of the best, some of our favorites from SEC, from ESPN SEC reporter Sam Kahn Jr. joins us. Sam, thanks for giving us some time. We're trying to wrap our heads around what Tennessee looks like, even in a win, but just a terrible win against a terrible football team. Can you take away a positive out of that?
Just that there's another win in the win column, I guess. I mean, really, I think Butch Jones said it best after the game. He goes, you know, it's all about the win, but that was unacceptable. I mean, you, especially coming off of, you know, with everything that happened last week and the way, you know, the Florida game ended, to follow it up with that kind of performance against a team that you honestly should beat convincingly is not a good sign. And so, it just intensifies the questions around him and the management of that program because they're not the only one that's happened with UMass. You know, South Carolina played around with UMass a little bit last year. You know, that for some reason UMass has been able to compete against some of these SEC teams, not beat them, but keep it a lot closer than you think. But still, you can't have that the week after what happened. It's, you know, with Florida game. I mean, it's certainly disheartening if you're a Tennessee fan.
Well, and you look at the rest of the SEC. I mean, Vanderbilt and Missouri both destroyed by the best two teams, what appears to be the best two teams in the West. And South Carolina struggles with Louisiana Tech. And, you know, I don't know if that's any comfort to Tennessee fans, but the rest of the division doesn't look all that special outside of course, Georgia and what the Bulldogs did. The rest of this division, are they good or are they bad?
No, I don't think they're very good at all. I think this conference as a whole outside of Alabama is not very good. I mean, Georgia, I think, is now establishing itself as the clear number two in the conference right now. But, I mean, you look at the rest of the West, there's not a lot to be excited about. You look at the East beyond Georgia. I mean, you have some teams with some interesting stories, like Kentucky. You know, certainly they wish they could have come away with that win, probably should have come away with that win against Florida, but they're looking better. Vanderbilt getting crushed by Alabama. I mean, they're not going to have to play Alabama again. The key for them is going to be not letting that linger into next week. They've got Florida coming up, and, you know, the rest of the division's a mess. I mean, South Carolina, I mean, they were down 13-0 at one point to Louisiana Tech in the fourth quarter, and Mizzou looks just completely listless. So, I mean, there just isn't really a lot to be excited about in the division. Florida is, you know, 2-0 in conference by, you know, by the hair of the, you know, I mean, by the skin of their teeth, because, I mean, they honestly probably should have lost both of those games, but they've been able to find ways to pull them out. So it's really, honestly, I don't think it's a very good division. But Georgia certainly has a lot of talent, and they seem to be getting it done.
We're talking to Sam Kahn Jr., ESPN SEC reporter. Now, you were at the Texas A&M Arkansas game. Is it, after watching all of it, do both of those coaches deserve to keep their jobs?
I think time will tell long term for both of those guys. You know, I mean, certainly Brett Bielema has a little bit more support, you know, from his AD at this point. You know, Jeff Long, you know, after, you know, they took that ugly loss to TCU, didn't seem to be in any rush, and he's got a little bit of a steeper buyout than Kevin Sumlin. Sumlin, I think, you know, he just has to win. Bottom line, I mean, you know, this is a team that has been 8-5 3 years in a row. They want them to be better in November, and so I don't think his fate is really going to be decided until we get to the meat of the SEC schedule, when they start playing Alabama, LSU, Auburn. You know, those are the teams that they need to beat that they haven't really done well against in recent years. So someone's fate is going to be decided down the stretch. To me, whether he deserves to stay depends on what this team looks like at the end of the year. If this team collapses the way it did the last few years, then no, I think A&M needs to move on. As for Bielema, I want to see how this season plays out, but I tell you, you look at his record in SEC games, 10-23. I know he took over a mess of a program when he got there. You know, the Bobby Petrino stuff had happened, and they had John L. Smith for a year. So, you know, you forgive them a little bit for the first couple of years, but they've kind of plateaued, and I even feel like maybe they're taking a step back this year, and that's not what you can't have that. So I don't know if Arkansas can afford to make a move, you know, because if they fire him before next year, they'll own $15.4 million, which is a lot of money to pay a guy to walk away. But certainly if they don't start playing better and winning games, closing out games, that's been the big issue for Arkansas, then I think you have to really ask some questions about Bielema.
You know, certainly we here in Nashville got a close look at Alabama and what they are able to do. And we all know that they're great. They're number one in the nation. A lot of people picking them to win the national title and all that good stuff. But I look around the country and I see a lot of question marks for a lot of really highly rated football teams. I'm not sure I see any question marks for Alabama. Is this team setting itself apart from the rest of college football right now?
I think so. I mean, you have to remember, they have really good offensive skill players back. They're deeper than any team in the country on both lines of scrimmage. They've got a really deep offensive line, really deep defensive line. And they seem to be able – Saban has done something that has just been impressive. Is not only has he recruited a high level and hit on a large amount of those recruits, but he's also been able to retain guys, some guys that you would think would go pro at times. You know, for instance, last year, you know, the year before, Jonathan Allen and Tim Williams could have gone and didn't and came back. And so combining all that, I mean, you have a team that's extremely deep, extremely well-coached. He keeps a pretty stable staff. You know, I mean, certainly guys move on to other coaching jobs. But for the most part, he's a pretty good, stable operation. And they just, I mean, they've cornered the market on how to run a program. I mean, that's bottom line. And they are head and shoulders above everybody else. Does that mean they can't be beat? No, absolutely they can be beat because, you know, we've seen over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years that if you get a team with a certain style of offense and a certain type of quarterback, you have a good day, you take care of the football, you might have a chance. But certainly right now, just far and away, from top to bottom, they are the best team in college football. There's no question.
We're talking to Sam Kahn Jr., ESPN SEC reporter. We can't have you on and not ask an obligatory Butch Jones coaching status question. So at this point, what you've seen so far, is there something he can do in your mind that keeps his job next year?
Yeah, win. I mean, you know, they've got to show some progress. I mean, they've got to show some, you know, improvement. And you can't. You got to win games, and you've got to win them. You know, they've got to look better than what you've seen. You know, what you saw on the field yesterday, what you saw at the end of Florida. You can't. They've have to just execute better. You can't have these head scratchers. You know, I mean, whether it's, you know, play calling down the stretch, or, you know, the silly penalty he got, you know, early in the game, you know, against UMass. I mean, just things that, you know, are preventable and correctable. I mean, that's the big thing for me. This team has to show progress up. They've recruited at a really good level. They've got to just translate it onto the field and be consistent and contend. In my mind, they need to be contending for the SEC title, especially in a year like this, because the division's wide open. There's really no other than Georgia. There's no other real clear-cut team that just wows you. So, to me, Tennessee should be in that race, you know, with the kind of talent they have. So, that to me, if you're, you don't, I don't say you have to win it, but be in the conversation, you know, be in the mix at the end of the year, toward the end of the year. So, that to me would be a step forward for them.
You can obviously check him out on ESPN, ESPN.com. Follow him on Twitter at S-Con Jr. Sam Kahn joining us. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's good stuff from Sam. And, yeah, the obvious answer, win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said be in the mix. You don't have to win it, but be in the mix at the end of the year. Listen, this is football, so there's still a chance that anything can happen. Even if you lose to Georgia, you could still win a couple of games. You lose to Alabama, 5-3 looks like the best-case scenario. Does 5-3, what does that mean to Tennessee fans at the end of the year? If you beat South Carolina, you beat Vanderbilt, you beat Kentucky – you know, you beat Missouri, you beat LSU at home. What does that mean? I mean, none of those teams have looked all that good either. So
right.
You look at all those teams and you go, why couldn't Tennessee win some of those games? And is 5-3 good enough to appease fans and keep them happy? If they look really good against LSU, does that change our perception of Butch Jones? If they look really bad against Vanderbilt but win the game? You know, there's still so many more games to be played. I don't think it's fair to say he's coaching for his job against Georgia this weekend, but – it's pretty close.
Man, we'll get into that throughout the course of the week, because obviously that's going to be the great discussion, is what's this game mean and what's this game going to look like. When we come back, I think yesterday, as we wrap up everything that we saw with the Titans, the one thing we saw was the Titans sort of reveal identity, reveal sort of the team that they are, and that team has a distinct advantage over most other teams. We'll tell you why. We'll tell you what it is. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 1025 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz. Julian Council, obviously, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Link and Mount Juliet. Braden and I hanging out. Fitness 1440.
Big things planned.
Oh, big things planned.
Big things planned, but we can't tell you about them.
Yeah, we got some exciting things coming in the works here. Fitness 1440, it's their one-year anniversary party that's been going on all weekend. Tonight they're doing a raffle at 8 p.m.
That we can tell you about.
Yeah, and they're giving away some just awesome-looking Huffy bikes and a 55-inch 4K Ultra HD TV. Pete Weber's donated some Preds tickets. If they're from Pete, you know they're going to be good. And you also got
a cruise.
Like, the funny thing is we've been hanging out for a while here, and then at one point Nelson, the owner, was like, yeah, well, you know, we're also giving away a cruise. You lead with cruise. When you're giving away a cruise, you lead with cruise. But you got to be present 8 p.m. tonight to win. And this is 411 Metroplex Drive, right off Harding Road. Fantastic, awesome gym. Again, 15,000 pounds of free weights. Feel free to lift them in whatever increments you would like, not all at once. There's personal training, an indoor swimming pool. They got a hot tub, a steam room, a sauna, basketball courts. The owner's always on site. They're open 24/7. Child care from 9 a.m. to noon and from 4 p.m.
Is there ever an end to all of the things that this place does?
No. I mean, they're basically – they're doing everything in a real personal relationship sort of way. It's awesome. Can't say enough good things about the staff here. So
yeah, I
agree. Check it out. And 3D is going to be here also, Fitness 1440.
I'm going to take Derek Mason down on the basketball court.
You should.
Challenging him right now.
He's got to do his show, though.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll worry about that.
Okay, whatever.
So
facts.
We'll figure that out. What we have figured out at this point is that there's an identity here for the Titans that I think works. And it's interesting because we expected the Titans to come in and run the ball. We expected DeMarco Murray, should he be active, to get a lot of carries. I don't think any of us expected that DeMarco Murray would continue to be the bell cow back, even with the hamstring injuries of the week and even with the concerns. I mean, he came in and was the workhorse, was dominant. You'll see repeatedly the 75-yard touchdown run being played, and it was just a thing of beauty. And I think about,
it was nifty.
About 300 of us thought we were clever tweeting, how's that hamstring look now, as he's just running away with it. Fantastic play, fantastic.
Was it KJ Wright that was chasing him down at the very end? And I was like, hamstring looks fine.
Yeah, I mean, we're all tweeting the hamstring joke. And then, that's the worst when you think you're clever on Twitter. You're like, how about that hamstring? And then you look and you're like, everybody else just. But then you don't want to delete it because what if somebody else responds to it? And then it's like, this tweet has been deleted. Even more embarrassing.
On the scale of embarrassment, I'm not sure either one of those things tops the list. But I will say that to your identity point, though, I agree that the patience paid off against Jacksonville. They stuck with the game plan. They ran the football. They allowed the game to come to them on that side of the ball, and eventually it did. I think the same thing could be said about this game against Seattle, that their identity, which, again, we were sort of – it's sort of a weird way in world and sports where, like, the head coach takes a job – who's formerly a head coach that wasn't really all that good, but then he was like an interim coach, and then he takes the job but already has his quarterback and says, we're going to be Exotic Smash Mouth. And we all go, what? Like, that's a very weird way for him to Mike Mularkey to have started his tenure last year. Let's just say starting game one last year. So he sort of announced the identity of the team when he took the job, which is very strange, right? Like, we argue about what is an identity of a team in sports, like, throughout the course of the season, in every sport. Well, the coach told us what it was going to be, and it was that last year. And it's still that this year. It hasn't changed. And it was very successful the last 2 weeks. What it does is it builds, and this is going to be a big topic all week on the show, what it does is it builds and builds and builds to this weekend. Because a 3-1 start with a 2-0 start on the road in the division against the Houston Texans is as good a start to the season as this organization has seen in more than a decade, and it would be a definitive statement as to where this team is in the division. A loss to Houston totally changes the perception of the team. So I think the hype and the building and the beating a brand like that, beating Russell Wilson like that, in light of all the other serious things that happened around the game, the actual gameplay on the field was incredibly impressive. And I don't think there's many teams that through 3 weeks we can say, like, hey, we kind of know what they are. Like Jacksonville, up and down. Even Oakland, your boys, up and down. There's been a lot of up and down in the NFL because that's the nature of the game. It feels pretty consistent through 3 weeks that the Titans sort of are who they are, and that looks like a pretty good football team right now.
Yeah, and I think that's what at some point we have to be able to make a statement. And, we talked about the Seattle game as being sort of the gift that was going to let us see something because you have another big brand, you have another big team coming in. I think that ultimately when the dust settles from some of the emotion of the weekend and when the dust settles from some of the surprises of the weekend, you have to stop and look at it. You mentioned inconsistency. I mean, come on, the Steelers lose to the Bears in overtime in a game that wasn't even particularly close for much of the first half. The Bears looked like the better football team. And so you're looking at it and saying the Patriots, remember, got just shellacked week one by the Chiefs. I mean, there's just not a lot other than the Chiefs and the Falcons. There's not a lot of consistent football being seen right now.
Not for long league doesn't mean like it doesn't just mean like your playing career could be cut short. It means like media analysis of your team doesn't last for very long either.
I mean, how many people have Buffalo beating Denver? I mean, we were just having this great conversation about how good Denver looks and, oh man, better than we thought. And then Buffalo takes it to them. So I think that the AFC is really still sorting itself out in a big, big, big way. And I also think that one of the lost pieces of what happened over the weekend is the context of what will continue to happen now. Because there are some teams that if there are divisions, if they are divided, if there is some sort of if anything was created there, it's difficult for teams to just work through that in the middle of the season. It will be interesting to see how teams play with the vibe and an energy next week, how teams play with the focus next week, how capable teams are of completely resetting, because some players have already come out and said that whatever action they took this week, they're not taking next week. So it feels like next week's a little bit of a reset. If that's the case, can teams reset? That's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah, and it just, you know, you don't call it returning to the scene of the crime because that was Jacksonville last year, and they already sort of exercised that demon this season already. But going down to Houston last year, if you remember, of course, the punt return by Will Fuller, they got off to a slow start. Brock Osweiler actually looked like a pro quarterback in that game at the start of the game, sort of went down the field a couple of times, played very well against the tight end. I think you're starting to see, and I think a couple people on Twitter mentioned this to us, and we talked about Adoree Jackson on special teams, but I think Adoree Jackson has been everything, every bit of the 18th overall pick in the draft. I mean, he has been exceptional in coverage. He's been exceptional in special teams. He has been everything the Titans could have hoped he would have been with that pick in the draft. He's extremely competitive. We knew that about him coming into the season. And so it's, you know, this team still isn't even whole yet. Like, their top draft pick has only played one game. So, I guess he played a little bit of the Jacksonville game, but really just the one game. So it'll be interesting to see how this team continues to grow and evolve and come together. But they're 2-0 on the road in the division. That's the chance that they have, the opportunity that they have this weekend. That's huge for a team that we've been complaining about their how they play in the division for years. Like, yeah. This is years and years and years of this problem. Not, oh, last year it came up. This has been a decade of this crap, and they've got a chance to really put their foot down on the division this week, and that's going to be a big focus all week on the show.
Houston not going to be an easy out, though. Let's remember yesterday, Houston had every opportunity to as I said earlier, they Kentucky'd the end of that game because they had every opportunity to beat the Patriots, and they just kept giving Tom Brady more chances. Really alarming to watch how they lost that game with just a few seconds to go. Still, doesn't take anything away from the fact that it was a solid effort, and you have to look at Deshaun Watson, despite the three interceptions, and say, man, he's doing everything that could be asked of him at this point. I don't think you could be unhappy with it. So Houston's going to be a tough out in this process. So this actually is going to be a fantastic game between these two teams. I mean, this is really all you could hope for early on, and to get that game in Houston early on too, get that one out of the way.
Right.
I love that.
And I think it's interesting if you actually really look at Seattle and Houston and sort of compare them. You know, obviously Russell Wilson is a significantly more experienced player than Deshaun Watson. I mean, this goes without saying, but they're constructed in similar ways. Powerful defensive front, talented defense, questionable offensive line, a couple of really good skill players.
Yeah.
They're built sort of similarly to Seattle. I think the game plan, if you can just stay the course and sort of maintain that patience and maintain that identity, there's a good chance you go into that game with the exact same style and feel that you went into Jacksonville and went into this game against Seattle. So bottom line is you took a team that's been to the Super Bowl twice in the last few years, and you handled them relatively easily in the second half. Big ups to Terry Robiskie and Marcus Mariota, the offensive line, the defensive front. I think just an all-around really well-played game. And it's fun to have a good football team in our town again because they look like a pretty good football team.
It is interesting to see what that looks like because it feels like we're on the brink of the possibility of something special if they can do sort of the unthinkable and come out of this opening stretch that was difficult and find their way to 3-1. I mean, the hype train will be a rolling. The hype train always rolls for 3D.
Hype train just rolled in.
I mean, the hype train deservedly so rolls for 3D. Nobody does it better. I don't know what they're doing, but it'll be better than what we just don't forget. We're at Fitness 1444, 11 Metroplex Drive, but 3D's taking the reins at Fitness 1440. So you can come and get your swell on, and you can come. Get your swell
on. Swole on?
Yeah, you get all swole up. Trash talk D-Mace. You can do all of that right here at Fitness 1440. Come hang out with the guys. They're going to be coming up next. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. Thanks for listening to Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Guys, do it again tomorrow.